And welcome, everybody, to episode 392 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and back from, I don't know, sex orgy number 25 or something. The mug.
Wait, you're counting?
The frosty one.
I wasn't having nearly as much fun as you think I was.
Well, you know, orgies can not be fun too, you know, bad orgy.
Yeah, except this wasn't an orgy. It was, I had to go to an awards ceremony for my stepdaughter's drama class.
Oh, yeah. Oh, is that what they're calling it?
God.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to go to a couple of
those. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm changing my
It wasn't. No. It's not that bad. This is high school drama, and some of the kids are pretty good.
Let's go. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, you're not. You're not kidding.
You're never
at all.
Kidding. You're an asshole.
All right, gents. How was your week? Let's start with you, Monk.
My week has been very up and down. It was okay to start it off with. The latter portion of the week got really shitty. But I'll go into that in my stinkos.
All right. What about you, Brake?
There's been a lot of drama this week, but yeah, it's been all right, I guess.
It's, if you ease up on the assholishness, you know, it might go smoother.
No, it's mostly me just sitting back and watching other, like, people fight.
I think he just needs lube. That's what he needs.
It wouldn't be so much fighting if there was more lube involved, man.
Yeah. You know? Lube cures everything, I think.
Yeah.
It would, well, if nothing else, it would involve a lot more people falling and cracking their heads open, which would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, that too. I could see that too, for sure. Especially if you put it on the bottom of your shoes, you know?
I also want to refute Freak Five Cows for his twisted fetish fantasies.
Of what now?
About how Anna couldn't have possibly been cured by Cure Spell, because Cure Spells don't actually cure fatal wounds.
Oh. Who's Anna?
Oh,
she was Final Fantasy IV?
She was, Tella's daughter who died. In Edward's castle.
Now, as soon as he said Final Fantasy IV, I knew it.
she was plugged with arrows, so yeah, she's instantly dead, pretty much.
They could have used a phoenix down.
And I tried to say those are only resurrect unconscious people, not dead people.
Oh, I see.
Well, that was the interesting thing is that Final Fantasy IV actually made a distinction. It did it like in the old Dungeons and Dragons style. If you brought something down to exactly zero hit points, it went swoon.
Yeah,
but they
were
still defeated. But you know, it's like, and then, but if they were negative hit points, then they were actually dead.
Well, you had a certain amount of negative hit points. Like I think it was like -10, -15.
Yeah,
or like something.
And you would lose a hit point each turn that you weren't like bandaged.
Right,
and then you would die at -10 in D&D.
Right.
So if she wasn't at -10 or in Final Fantasy terms -8,000, I don't know, whatever. the numbers are so bloated.
9,999.
Yeah.
It's not fancy.
Then she could still be resurrected.
Yeah. Well,
and I think that's the real proof that Sephiroth was a cheating jerk, because he did so much damage that he brought her to -9,999 hit points when he killed Aerith, and he did so, you know, just in one shot.
Yeah, Sephiroth's dick. No question.
It was the first instance of Final Fantasy X's overkill.
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure that bitch was dead. And I'm not calling her a bitch. He was calling her a bitch.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
I just want to clarify that.
Yeah. All right, Eric, how was your week, man?
It's over.
Yeah, it's over.
I am right there with you, dude.
I had a decent week.
It was just hot, and work was just a lot of stuff. I hate working with that machine. It's hopefully going to get fixed soon, so it's less of a problem.
It is damn hot outside.
It's really hot here right now, guys.
I love the heat.
Ugh. It's awful.
You're in for a lot of it.
I would rather sweat than shiver. I hate winter. I love summer.
See, the thing is, I can always, the way I look at it, I can always bundle up. I can only take off so much without getting arrested.
I agree. I totally agree with that. Like, but I don't mind the summer. I like the summer. Just,
I mean,
I don't mind it
cold.
I just hate snow because I live in the north.
Yeah.
I'm used to winter. Like, I can tolerate it and it's fine. Like, no, I live through it every year. It's just summer's so much better.
Yeah, I think I like
summer,
too. Look,
two words, short shorts.
Yeah.
Summer's better than winter.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't argue with the aesthetics being more pleasing, but just the actual being in the weather, I'll take winter.
I hate using the AC because at least in the winter I can use my PS4 as a heater.
This is true. I noticed that was very handy in the because hell, it's not even the PS4. It's not, for me, it's not even the PS4. It's my damn television.
Yeah,
or the Xbox One. The Xbox One's better for that.
Yeah. All right, gents, let's get started with the news.
Boots up like a grandpa, but I'll heat you.
Yeah. let's get started.
No, seriously, it takes fucking forever for that fucking thing.
Yeah, the one, Xbox One does take forever to boot.
Yeah. All right, Eric, let's get started with news. Let's get this shit done.
The only thing that possibly takes longer is getting on the PSN store on the PS3.
Oh, God, that's awful.
It's been awful.
Oh, yeah. That is. And it crashes constantly.
Yeah, it sucks. They've never gotten that shit right, ever.
It works great on the PS4.
Oh, God.
Hell, it works great on the PS Vita. It's just like it was designed for the PS4, and they're like, let's kind of retroactively make it work on the PS3. It's like, well, you sort of accomplished that.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get a PS4.
Doesn't have the RAM for it.
Yes. I'm hoping to get a PS4 this year sometime, guys. That would be really
cool. You're getting us PS4s?
I'm hoping.
That's so nice of you, Frank.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you become Oprah and you get a PS4?
It's in the mail, Brake, man. It's in the mail.
You know, she would be way more cool if she did stuff like that than instead. You get a free facial. You get free nails done. Like, no.
You get free homeopathy.
I'll give them all a free facial.
Yeah, okay? Me too, man. Yeah, me too, Mug.
I guess I'm playing for that one.
Considering my general opinion of Oprah Winfrey, I'm being very generous.
Oh, Mug, do you know?
You get some moon.
I don't know of any guy who actually likes her.
Mug, do you know where I place Oprah in my pantheon of horrible people that have ever lived? Do you know where I place her?
The deepest pit of hell.
Somewhere on, if we say, you know, if when I say high, I mean kind of like the higher is worse.
Yeah.
Probably on the high end of average.
Yeah, no, it's actually the high end of extreme. It's like you have Hitler, right? I think everybody can agree Hitler was pretty bad as far as people go, right? Like you can pretty much put him up there with a few select people.
Like Vandal Savage and Rasputin and stuff, guys like that.
Yeah, you can put people like that way up there, especially Hitler. I think
you guys are just going to let me go with that, huh? Okay, cool.
Hitler is probably the worst of the worst, right? And then right under Hitler, you have Oprah Winfrey. And then right alongside her, you got Jenny McCarthy. You got.
I think you may be forgetting some people. You know, some significant figures like.
Oh,
you know,
there's plenty of
Stalin.
How about all of Washington?
Mussolini.
How about Innocent the second
or with the third or whatever?
Look, no, Mug. I did not forget those people. I said you have a tier that includes people like Hitler.
Okay, I missed that part. Sorry.
You know, stuff like that. And then right beneath that is Oprah Winfrey, Jenny McCarthy, cops, and people that leave their feet for everybody to view outside the car window. That's kind of how.
Yeah, that's really disgusting.
Yeah,
I don't want to see feet.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, let's get started with the news, man. We got to get through it here.
Okay, the news. We've got Criminal Girls 2 is coming west in September. And I asked, America is bringing Criminal Girls 2 Party Favors to PS Vita in North America on September 20th and Europe on September 23rd. And it's apparently going to have a couple changes, like redrawn art. And they detail it here. It says, we had a bit more time to work on this title. We didn't want to make any alterations to the game that would be jarring to the experience or feel off, so we worked with the original artist of the game who redrew the art for the motivation scenes, because they can't call them punishment scenes, because I guess they want it to be more consensual. NSA is weird. It's just they feel almost like Nintendo in a way, and I have to wonder what they think their audience is.
So now torture's BDSM?
Yeah, yeah.
In this game?
Actually, yeah. They're removing the BDSM elements, because apparently I saw a work-in-progress picture, and the ropes are removed.
Oh, how nice.
They've been changed to, like, satin or something. Or yeah, they're still
talking about it in the next article, too. So,
yeah.
It says, we didn't want the game experience to change, though, so we are also investing extra effort into incorporating Criminal Girls' Party Favors' unique live 2D effect into the new art. in case anybody doesn't know, that's where it's kind of like segmented animation, where they'll have a still image, parts of the still image move to make it look like more immersive, I guess, considering the budget.
Kind of like the art style of the Scott Studios games or the Gundam Battlemaster, and
kind of like that, but
where they animate individual pieces of it too.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next story break. I don't think.
This is also related to Criminal's Girl. Criminal Girls 2 Come to the West.
You still going, Eric? What do you need to talk about?
Actually, now? This next one kind of talks about the things we're talking about, so never mind. Just go ahead and read this one.
This comes to us from Destructoid. As expected, Criminal Girls 2 Party Favors, I like the title, will have some alterations when it's brought westward for its localization, as we just talked about. Details four core pillars. So NIS has detailed four core pillars so fans can make their own decisions whether or not to buy. Redrawn art, which we heavily discussed, terminology changes, no native language dialogue, and no motivation.
It says no native language. I think they mean no English dub. I think that's what they meant to say, because the game will be subtitled.
Okay, no English dub, and no motivation scene dialogue. No subtitles either on the scenes.
No. On the scenes, they took out the moaning of the first game, so they're just doing it again here.
Oh boy. Okay.
It didn't seem sexual.
They actually explain that in the next paragraph. In other words, punishment is now motivation. Some dialogue has been removed, and there is no dub. The story will still deal with a group of delinquents in hell as part of the reformation program. While I'm not big on alterations like this, to some degree, why localize it at all if you have to change so much? It's good to see NIS be so open with its community as opposed to obfuscating it like other
parts. Like obstruction.
Obfuscating. I kind of disagree with him. I'm happy with something coming to the West, even if it's altered. As long as the gameplay is still intact,
I don't like it.
I don't say I don't like it, but it's better than not coming here at all.
It kind of depends on the nature of the game. I don't know what kind of game this is, but if it's the kind of game where the motivation is basically titillation, then no, there's not really a point to it.
It isn't. It's just it has an erotic element to it, but it's not the point of the motivation scene.
Yeah, so for me, as long as the gameplay is still good, if they have to do these stupid changes for localization, which are stupid changes,
I read in the comments there, it sounded like they didn't have to do this. They just wanted to do it and to potentially save their ass. Yeah. So they're a little, I don't know, risk adverse, I guess.
Ugh, yeah. I can't blame them.
Apparently it's the localization head's decision on this, because I don't think they have any problem complying with ESRB, because the stuff that happened in the first game wasn't any more serious. In fact, it was less serious than something like Senran Kagura, where you can have their bra or their panties shed off as like a finishing move.
Or once you beat the game, at least in Senran Kagura Burst, you can blow into the microphone and make their skirts go up. I'm serious. And when I was working on localizing that game,
if they do that, then these people can leave the game as is.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's like, I remember when I was playing the game, like, they sent me a copy of it when I was working on translating Senran Kagura to Burst. And, like, they sent me that, and it's like okay. I played through the game, I finished it and everything. And I was like, it's an okay game.
You can sexually assault virtual girls now, too.
Yeah, and I was like, then I read something about it. I was looking at, like, it basically gives you a thing, basically, like, you know, breathe into the end of the microphone. It doesn't explicitly say that, but it hints very heavily at it. And I was like, wait, seriously? So I went in there and I went, and lo and behold, and once it goes up high enough, they're like, oh, and they push it back down. I was like, this is so dumb.
I don't like this, guys. Not because of the elements that they took away or whatever might offend anybody here. I don't have a problem per se with that, but I just don't like censorship. Like, it kind of...
I won't not buy a game because of it, though.
Yeah, I won't not buy a game, but it almost makes me not want to buy a game. You know what I mean, Eric? Like, there's certain things I'm just like, I'm not okay with
something like that, if you're like, well, I'm just not going to buy it. Well, the problem with the problem with that is that not buying it, basically denying them a sale, doesn't say, I won't buy this if it's censored. It says, I'm not interested in this kind of game.
I agree with you, Mug. But
because the only thing they care about is money.
There's really no way to...
Well, they're our business.
In fact, that's why they made the changes in the first place. Yeah, they can reach a wider audience that way, but they're heavily misguided.
Definitely misguided.
It might be less about reaching a wider audience and more about trying to stave off criticism. Because, you know, it just takes one mom to say, oh, my God!
They're not selling it to kids, though. It's an M-rated game.
One blogger.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's an M-rated game...
They're not going to be selling it in Walmart. That's all I have to know.
When I worked at a Game Crazy as a store manager... Yes.
Yeah.
Damn, they're gone. Anyway, there was a time when parents would come in and buy games. This was definitely when M-rating was still kind of a newer thing. Mm-hmm. And I had a kid come in and he wanted to buy... He was like 10 years old and he wanted to buy Grand Theft Auto. I can't remember which one. And his mom was with him and she was just putting out the cash. She didn't really know. She wasn't paying attention. So I stopped and I said, do you know what's in this game? And I explained to her what the content of the game.
Yeah.
No, but see, back immediately and said, no, is this what you're playing at home?
She was
pretty pissed off, and but as a parent, she wasn't monitoring what the kid was doing.
That's her problem.
The thing is, you also have to bear in mind, it's becoming less and less of an issue as time goes on and video games become more ubiquitous and the rating system becomes better known. But yeah.
As soon as she
became informed, she made it. You know, she made the choice as a parent to say, mm-hmm. "No, I'm not letting you get this."
Yeah, she made the correct choice.
You're being a parent,
right?
Good job.
Yep, good job.
12 years ago, I think.
I mean, it only took a fucking employee to parent. You know, make her parent.
Well, no, the thing is, if she's not familiar with it, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like kids are sneaky. You have
kids.
You
look
okay. I agree with you.
I get the idea he'd done this to her before.
Look, check this out. The point is. When that rating system first came out, it had pretty much what it has today, right? Rated M for mature, and it told you, it broke it down.
But it wasn't it as
not,
localized
the breakdowns
as
were not
now.
There to begin with. The breakdowns were a more recent addition.
Yeah, but they still had a few things that would kind of raise an alarm. And then at that point, the parents should look at it and say, hey, look – this is a mature title. What does that mean?
During this time, parents, especially back when I was selling, a lot of parents were still under the impression video games are something for children.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the thing is, most people's idea of like parents in like in the 90s and in the oddies, their impression of video games was it's basically all Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's all safe for kids. It's basically Disney.
Yes.
And yeah, and like and it's taken a while, and thing you can't really blame parents for not being aware of this because it's not something they're immersed in. I mean, we've been immersed in it for decades.
No, I understand that. Look, there's no aspect of my kids' life that I don't know about, at least for the most part. You know, I agree. Sometimes kids are really sneaky, right? And they're not quite forthcoming with information.
I've worked in arcades. I've worked in video game stores. Kids are always sneaky.
Okay. All right.
I want to address Dungeon Buster's comment on Yakuza.
Yeah, can I finish Eric first? Can I just finish my point and then we can go in? I was going to bring up Dungeon Buster's point too. I am fully aware of, like, as much as I can as a responsible parent of what my kids are up to, what they're looking at on their devices, et cetera, right? But I'm also a cool parent. I'm not going to sit there and scrutinize every single little thing because the more you do that, the more kids are apt to be bad, right, and want to do bad things. So to me, when the rating system first came out, it was rated M for mature, and I can't remember all the other ones. Pretty much the same as what it is now. Mature, right?
It had to be San Andreas, I'm thinking.
Rated M.
It was either San Andreas or Vice City back then.
Rated M for mature. As a parent.
Oh, my God, you're killing me, dude. It's mature, not mature.
manure?
it is rated M for manure.
If I had no
Must be a THQ game.
If I had no inkling of what a video game was or what it would consisted of, I would at least ask the employee, look, this is a rated M for mature game. What type of game is it? Is there sex involved?
Yeah, but this is, like I said, this is like 12, 13 years ago, something doesn't like matter. That. When more parents were under the assumption that Nintendo, you know, is family friendly.
No, I get
this
it.
Every video game is Nintendo, and this was – and he's for PlayStation 2, I think. But, yeah, but actually, every game is Nintendo.
That perception lasted for a long time.
Yes.
All video games were Nintendo. It's like, go play your Nintendo. Mom, it's a PlayStation. It's a Nintendo. You know, it's
– Right.
And it's a thing I don't understand, so
– To me, it's parent stupidity. Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like all cameras were, you know, for the longest time, all cameras were Kodaks, all copying was Xeroxing, and it's like it's
tissues
brand,
or Kleenex.
Here's what I think we need to do.
It was brand it was largely an effect of brand dilution to the point where, you know, if it's a video game, it's Nintendo. Nintendo has a family-friendly reputation. It must be okay. Yep. I mean, the thing is, you can't really fault people for thinking that way because that's
I think that's
Nintendo of America is in this trap where they have to uphold that perception because they don't think they can undo it.
I think it's lazy parenting. You know, I really do.
I don't think there's
a lot of lazy parents out there. I can't deny
I'm gonna go back to Dungeon Buster's point on Yowzica 3. Sega didn't censor the hostess closeout so much as they removed them because. They didn't think that North American audiences would know what hostess clubs were, and for the most part, they'd be right. But because it was an optional event in the game, but Yowzica 4, it was a mandatory one-time event, and then you can go there later on your own just for the hell of it later. So they kind of had to include it then. They just didn't want to work on it because they didn't know – how to approach it.
You know, the changes that I'm okay with are like the cultural reference changes and certain things like that.
And they cut out the quiz minigame in 4 because that has very Japan-centric stuff in it. So.
No, that's that type of stuff I have no issue with. I'd take exception when they take
You know what I thought
content.
Was funny was the quiz in Mega Man Legends 2 with a bunch of random trivia like Jimi Hendrix and shit.
That's funny. All right, let's move on to the next story, Mug.
Okay, let's see. Which one were we on? Okay, are we doing the one where there's actually a story, or should
Exceed.
I just like...
Exceed Games. Exceed
All right,
Games.
We'll go on to that. Exceed, coming to us live from Gematsu, Exceed Games it will be publishing Shantae, Half Genie Hero, Toho, Scarlet Curiosity, and Exile's End, all three new indie titles to be playable at E3 2016. New titles include physical and digital versions of WayForward Technologies' crowdfunded Shantae Half Genie Hero for PlayStation 4, PS Vita, and Wii U. And yes, the Vita version will have a physical release, so yay. Toho Project fan series game Scarlet Curiosity for PlayStation 4, and Exile's End from Magnetic Realms and Marvelous for PlayStation 4, PS Vita, and Wii U. All three titles will be available at E3 from June 14th to 16th.
I like to mention that in Exile's End, it's a Metroidvania, and the main character looks a lot like Geralt from Witcher 3.
Yeah, you're right. It does. I just looked at the screenshots. And if it's not like, you know, if it's not like one of those obnoxiously difficult ones, then I might be on that. Because I like the Metroidvanias. I played Salt and Sanctuary, which is a nice little Metroidvania style. You know, basically, it's Dark Souls meets Metroidvania. I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. All right, anything else on this story, Mug? Exile's End?
There's plenty of detail on them if you want me to go into it.
No. Let's move on.
Exile's End describes part Metroidvania and part cinematic platformer, drawing heavy inspiration from classics of the genre like Out of This World and Flashback. That sounds interesting to me. And also an atmospheric soundtrack by Keiji Yamagishi of Ninja Gaiden and Tecmo Super Bowl fame. Grabs my attention.
But this Toho game is the Toho game we talked about a while ago that's both a Bullet Hell East type game.
Yeah. Freak Five just joined chat.
The later East games did get pretty bullet helly.
God damn it!
Not really.
My links are...
I thought that the East 1 and 2 Chronicles, the final boss was kind of bullet helly.
All right.
Yeah, but that's like it wasn't like the when I think bullet hell, it's like, yeah, you can cover the stuff the screen in bullets, but it's like, you know, it wasn't like, you know, you get hit once to four times.
Not, yeah, dead. But I know, but it maybe if you play on the highest difficulty, you would. But
yeah, it might be that bad. But yeah. Fuck that in the ear. So
you guys are gonna have to continue on with the news. My links are all fucked up. Eric,
your links are dead. Okay. Yeah. Okay. From Gamatsu, you've got Cosmic Star Heroine launches this summer, and there's a new trailer out, and the trailer is amazing. Totally 90s stuff. And the game will cost $14.99 and support cross-buy on the PlayStation platforms with the release. There's apparently no release window for the Xbox One Windows version.
What is this game?
Actually, the Windows version is coming out at the same time the PS4 and Vita version are. But it's an RPG by Zeboid Games.
Oh, okay.
And it looks like the best one yet.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, Zeboid Games are the people who did Cthulhu Sails of the World, Breath of Death 7, and Penny Arcade on the Rainslick Precipice of Darkness 3, and some other stuff.
And they're doing a partnership with Limited Run Games to produce a limited physical run versions of the game.
Cool.
Yeah. The feed just died, but continue on, guys. I'll work on that while you continue with the next story.
All right, break.
Break, man.
Story? What? What happened? What?
I'm gonna hit you.
I'm sorry, I'm in chat. I was typing. Okay, anyway. I come to us live from Gamatsu. Wonder Boy.
Wonder Boy.
Tenacious D?
Oh, wait. Hang on. Wonder Boy.
Tenacious D was called Wonder Boy.
No, he's singing it right now. Shush, so I can hear him sing it.
Worst, take me far away from the mucky
show.
Mucky.
Yes. I'm walking off this show. This is the worst thing.
Come on,
ever.
It's Tenacious D.
Get a
this
job
has nothing to do with
guard.
Tenacious D. I don't care about this.
But it's Wonder Boy.
Oh, yeah, God. This has nothing to do with it. Let's
it's not worth anything. Skip
yeah, it's
story.
Not worth it.
All right, Wonder Boy, guys, come on.
Go on.
I'm fine. Wonder Boy, the Dragon's Trap, announced for consoles and PC. No, Jack Black is not involved in this fucking way.
Or Kyle Gass. I mean,
Or Kyle, yes. God damn it. .mu and Lizard Cube have officially announced Wonder Boy, The Dragon's Trap. A remake of Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap. Wait, it's a remake with the same name?
The Turbo Duo, or the PC Engine version, was called Dragon's Curse. The Dragon's Trap is the name for the port for the Sega Master System.
Well, I'm getting to the best part here. There's a really Japanese name here. series creator Ryuichi Nishizawa. What's that?
Ryuichi
Nishizawa.
You know Ryu from Street Fighter? Just, you have to read it like that, dude. That's how it's supposed to be said.
Really? I always pronounced it Throat Wobbler Mangrove.
That's a cool name, though.
And it's based on Westone Bits Entertainment's original title. Anyways, description of the game. A good curse makes a good game, or so they say. Turned into a half-human, half-lizard monstrosity by the Mecha Dragon, a lonesome adventurer is facing the challenges of a lifetime. Yeah, he probably has to lay eggs and shit like that. That would suck ass. In search for a cure, our mutated anti-hero will explore the many traps of Monsterland and defeat many stuff-throwing... curse wielding dragons, stuff throwing. What kind of stuff do they throw at you?
Here is a
stuff throwing.
What would be funny is like if you have this little animation,
dragon
like leaning over to the other side and just like no, not this, and just all the stuff's like aha, and then they pull out a kitchen sink and literally throw it at you.
Either that or like stovetop stuff.
Or maybe one of these. Maybe one of these.
Oh my God! No!
Monica, they would keep that. That's treasure.
Jesus Christ, you're so lucky, Mug. You're so lucky I didn't have my finger on the trigger, you son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. All right, let's move on, guys.
Story. How many more transformations can one hopeful body survive as it turns into a lizard, a mouse, a piranha, a lion, and a hawk? Jesus Christ. The six different ones. Why not a wolf so it could just be like Lady Hawk? The six different forms of our shape-shifting hero make up the cast of a nonstop action-adventure platform.
A woof, woof, woof.
Oh, God.
Or perhaps are you talking about the canid, you know, quadruped that is the, you know, ancestor and close cousin of the common dog? That was what's commonly known as a wolf.
A wolf? A wolf? Is that what it's pronounced?
Can you, can you say wolf? Can
it's
you
not
say wolf?
Wolf.
Like, can you say wolf. Like a wolf? Okay, but can you say like wolf? Can you
I
say a wolf sweater?
I hate you guys.
A wolf sweater?
I hate you guys so much.
Anyways,
I'm walking off this goddamn show, man.
Go ahead.
What was that?
I have no
anyways,
idea.
The features, a huge interconnected world, six playable forms for our shape-shifting hero. We already talked about that. Dragons of all kinds, a zombie dragon, a mummy dragon, a samurai dragon, and they all sling their poo and sinks at you. An eye-patch-wearing shopkeeper pig who may or may not provide a sense of warmth and direction, and he's probably a pervert. Beautifully hand-drawn animated graphics, a memorable soundtrack based on Shinichi Sakamoto's originals, reimagined and recorded with classical instruments.
I'm gonna address Chad here. Ghostbusters actually looks like more Ghostbusters. What's wrong with
that? I don't know. The last trailer I saw of it I was kind of disappointed with the last trailer.
I didn't see the last trailer. I saw the first one.
Thought it's like this might. And you know, my reaction to the trailer has basically been like, might be good.
It looks like I hate this show and I hate Chad today. I'm gonna walk off. I'm job it as a goddamn security.
Dungeon says it looks like a terrible Ghostbusters. It didn't, like...
I like to think that there's...
Wyland said it looks like an unfunny Haunted Mansion.
I like to think that there's
Tell us what you really think.
It has a collective Kubler-Ross form of, acceptance, but they actually have, like, two stages where just vehement denial, and then they get dragged to see the movie, and they're like, why did I hate this?
Yeah, exactly. Look, if Dungeon Buster says the humor is flatter than a pancake, I don't remember the first Ghostbusters humor.
We're going off trailers, and we all know how bad trailers can be.
It doesn't look like a
must-see movie.
An unmitigated disaster, either.
No, I agree.
All I'm saying is that the first Ghostbusters wasn't like side-spittingly funny. It was just fun. It was just fun. It wasn't.
Yeah,
it was a fucking fantastic movie.
I
never
think
played.
There are a few low points in the original Ghostbusters.
I think it's a good movie. I think it's definitely a good movie. It's not like world-like.
Hey, as long as the trailers are showing all the bad parts and there's a lot of other good parts in the movie, then that'll be good because then all the good parts won't be spoiled by the trailer.
I don't know. I haven't seen
too many trailers do that nowadays. They show the best parts and then
that's kind of what I felt from the trailer. It looks like the new trailer is trying too hard with the comedy, whereas with the original Ghostbusters, they just kind of let it flow. Like they're just kind of like, hey, shh, did you guys smell that?
I think you
stuff
guys
like
are
that,
just,
you know, like
I think you
quiet.
Guys, it's like they have to constantly be making jokes just to let you know the movie's a comedy.
I think you guys are just women haters in chat.
Nah.
You guys suck.
They're not women haters.
I know.
Dungeon Buster is definitely a woman hater. He looks like the type. I mean, have you seen his name?
Right, Dungeon Buster. Jesus Christ.
I think Wayland is a GG sympathizer sometimes, though.
A what? A GG sympathizer?
A Gamergate sympathizer.
No, look, we've already went over that Gamergate shit. there's good points on both sides, most of the good points being on the...
Waylon says, I think the trailer showed the entire movie.
Dungeon Buster.
Yeah, like Dungeon Buster says, I'll still see it. Like, I am such a big Ghostbusters fan.
At least you're not Rolf.
Yeah, I like that.
My five favorite movies are the original Ghostbusters.
I'm not going to see this movie because it's not like real Godzilla.
my favorite movies, my top five favorite movies, are the original Star Wars trilogy followed by Ghostbusters 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to go see this movie.
Well, that says everything we need to say
Captain
about you, Breakman.
No, like I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. I've been dying for a sequel.
I like 1. I did not like
a remake,
2.
So whatever. That's because you have no soul.
It's not a remake.
I mean, it's basically kind of like a soft reboot. I mean, Venkman and all them, they still exist in this universe. It is, you know, like 30 years later.
No, that's not what it is. This is
not
a reboot.
I mean, Yeah. I mean,
well,
this is the they thing, discovered technology.
I will say that. Well, okay, I'll say this much. I know
Bill Murray
that
does show up, but he's not his character.
Yeah.
I was like, I was gonna. Well, okay, maybe that's the case because I know that that Ernie Hudson, Dan Aykroyd, and Bill Murray make cameos in it.
Right, but they play as different characters. Like this isn't. This is like that's what I wanted was this to be like a continuation of it because they really did set it up, especially in the video game being like a franchise.
Okay, we got to share this. You must admit. This movie will probably be better
you.
Than Dragon Quest
VIII. I hate you guys. Walking off this show. Walking off. God damn
it. Wasn't a gimmick. I think they were just addressing the audience there.
Oh,
it was like,
my God.
Okay, so you remember, 30 years ago, this Ghostbusters movie happened.
It would have been great. The game set it up perfectly as like their franchises. Like the Ghostbusters is going to be like a global thing. Like first we got to expand across the country.
I don't understand why people say the trailer is so awful when we've got the Mighty No. 9 trailer from Deep Silver. Just call awful instead. That's to be the standard of awful.
Yeah, let's move on, guys. We could talk all day about Ghostbusters.
We have gotten way off track. Like, we're talking about Wonder Boy.
I think we're still on news.
Oh, yeah, let's speaking still of Wonder Boy. Speaking of Wonder Boy,
Wonder Boy.
There's also a game called Monster Boy, which is similar.
Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to the next story, guys. X-Blaze Lost Memories.
Oh, no, you got Felix back.
Yeah, let me know if they make a Beast Boy game.
Launches June 21st in Europe. The end. There's the story. Let's move on.
All right. Well, coming to us live, or semi-something thereof, from Silicon Era, Akiba's Beat announced for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita. The Akiba's Trip series is getting its newest title by Acquire with a title called Akiba's Beat for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita. Thanks, Silicon Era.
Did we skip the X-Blaze one?
Yeah, that's what Frank just did.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention, it wasn't an article, but Onichinbara Z2 Chaos is on Steam now.
Mm. And the story has an image of like a preview page from Famitsu showing that it'll be the first action RPG by Acquire. We'll have more details on the game when information from the magazine becomes available.
Look, this is
why
weird.
Is Tiger Claw on chat? This is a rarity.
This is a rarity.
Because it's Ninja Turtles.
No, check this out.
He heard us
talking about Ghostbusters, which I don't know how he was fucking listening to us because
dude, you're like a stalker, man.
It's awesome. Yeah, TMNT's out today. Yippity doo. Yippity doo. but Tiger Claw is in chat. What's up, Tiger Claw?
I only have one bad thing to say about that film, and it's a pretty big one.
Oh, God. I have one thing to say about TMNT. Don't see it. God damn it. Oh, God.
I'm going to see it all the times.
You son of a bitch. All right, Mug. Did you finish this Akiba's Beat?
Yes, I did.
All right, next story.
Sequel to Akiba Strip.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have a clever pun behind it, but oh well.
All right, Eric, next story, please.
Next story is a PSA, how you can get a Manaphy in Pokemon X and Y and, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. And you can do it through the mystery gift internet option instead of having to go to GameStop and getting a stupid card. So you don't have to get silly cards from GameStop.
Yeah, Freak says he can't wait to see it, TMNT, to which I say I knew you would want to see that piece of junk.
Frank, just the movie is not bad.
Oh, God.
I've heard that the guy playing Casey Jones does a decent job.
Oh, I love him because he's the Green Arrow.
I kind of wish they did more with him, but that's probably what sequels are for.
They should have did Bebop and Rocksteady in the first goddamn movie, man.
I've been reading like spoiler-free reviews on it, and globally it seems everybody likes it better than the first one.
Ugh. Yeah, the Polygon review
like savages that just...
I didn't see that one.
The worst thing about the first movie is that the turtles weren't doing a lot of turtle stuff.
Yeah.
Well. And Shredder was just awful.
I thought not
Shredder being Shredder, but the fact he was
the suit of million blades.
Okay. The thing is, what gets me about that, people are like, you know, oh, Shredder should be this or Shredder should be that. I just have a distinct recollection of an episode of the original Ninja Turtles cartoon where they get stuck in Dimension X and they're like, Krang's like, we'll just conquer this planet Earth. And, you know, and Shredder whines. He says, but I don't want to conquer this place, and takes off his mask. I want to conquer Earth. I'm like, so don't give me shit about how Shredder's supposed to be this major badass.
Yeah, the TV show is retarded. And I think people love it because it's stupid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like I loved it too. It was goofy as hell, yeah. And you know, I was like 13, like when it came out, and I had a lot of fun with it. But it's like I don't have any illusions about it being
the original cartoon is the only cartoon version of Shredder where he's kind of like that, and all the other versions he's just ruthless and evil.
Hey, Freak Five.
Every other version of Shredder has been
straight up sociopath.
Check this out, guys. Yeah. Check this out, guys. Freak actually has a good point. He's like, except for the part where he says that TMNT is better than DQ8, he says, and I listen to this piece of junk every week. So he got that right, man.
Freak just listens. He hangs on the hope that he'll hear.
Oh, my God. That's it. I can't! Oh! I hung up on Mug. Son of a bitch. Oh, my God. Get back on. All right, guys, let's move on, man. I think we got one more story break. There he is. Okay. You guys still there?
Yes.
All right. You hung up on him, and now you can't find him? Is that what happened, Frank?
No!
We got one more article due, and let's get it moving
okay,
on.
Okay, coming to us live from Destructoid. Zero Time Dimensions is coming to Steam this month.
Dime Dilemma. Not Dimensions. Dilemma.
Freak is right.
I was reading it fast. I'm sorry. Zero Time Dilemma is coming to Steam this month. I was trying to breeze through it because Frank's rushing me. June 30th, they're $39.99. In addition to 3DS and Vita,
You're right.
Zero Time Dilemma is now coming to Steam. Axis is still handling the former two, though Spike Chumsoft will be directly publishing the latter. If you're interested, the Steam page is now live with all the bonuses, including trading cards, emoticons, and backgrounds.
I don't know if I want the fish or the chicken. I'm in such a dimension.
You know, I think Freak is right, man. This show is a piece of shit, man.
I'm a part of it. It has to be. With Sony and Nintendo shutting down their storefronts over time, WiiWare is gone, as is the PSP store. It's nice to see Steam preserving games for our prosperity. Posterity, I meant.
Yeah. For our prosperity. Yeah.
I quit. I'm done. I'm not reading anymore.
Apparently, Freak sent you
apparently
a picture.
I need glasses and a new brain.
Freak sent you a picture on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. And apparently, I'm going to be very upset when I see it.
He's apologizing profusely.
He's apologizing ahead of time. I haven't seen it
I
yet.
I hope it's not a picture of Monica's
Madison.
Guys.
Oh, God. It's awful. I think Freak sent it to me earlier. It's awful. All right.
I don't see anything in my notifications.
I hope he doesn't send me anything.
Don't say that, because then he'll fucking send it. All right, homie discounts. Eric, you have a homie discount.
Yeah, on the Humble store, humblebundle.com, there is a bundle called the Narrative Bundle. And it's a pay what you want for the first three titles. And you can get Her Story, Read Only... What?
I'm sorry. Picture? I just saw the picture that Freak sent me. Continue, please.
Anyways, Her Story, Read Only Memories, and Sybil. And if you pay more than the average of $4.42, you can get Broken Age, 80 Days, and Sorcery Parts 1 and 2. But the biggest thing you can get here is if you pay $10, you can get Shadowrun Hong Kong Extended Edition.
Yeah.
So there's your RPG deal.
All
right. Oh, did you guys hear about the
For that alone, so get it.
Yeah. Did you guys hear about the GOG Connect thing?
And Read Only Memory is really good.
No,
too,
so what?
GOG is setting up this thing where you can link your GOG account to your Steam account, and any games that are compatible with it, it will give you the DRM free versions of any Steam game that you own that's compatible. It's like they've got it's something like 30
everybody should just download now. GOG Galaxy and get stuff from GOG.
Yeah, but it's like anything that like it's right now it's only like 20 games, but like but I linked mine and it's like I've suddenly got eight of them in DRM free form, so that's that's pretty cool, and they're supposed to be adding more as time goes on, so that's a pretty awesome function.
All right. Any Twitter stuff, Breakman?
Yes. Yes, there is. I'm sorry you asked. okay. Let's go back a little here. Let's see. When was Friday?
GameStop should be called Game Shit. Let's just call it Game Shit from now on.
The show. Game Shit.
Okay, let's see here. The day after our episode aired, Freak 5 Chaos sent a message to us about the show saying, talking about blowjobs, and Frank Branches asked at Eric RPG about his week. I was expecting Eric to say he got a blowjob.
Why were you expecting me to say that?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. And then he follows up with, suppose I shouldn't, constrained by societal norms, he could have said he had given a blowjob.
Exactly.
If you were doing a sex show, maybe, but not RPG show.
What? Oh, that's role. We could role play sex.
It's like that. Oh, you know, joke about it. It's like, yeah, I just celebrate. You know, it's like, what are you celebrating, kids? Yes. Like my first blowjob. It was really salty.
Oh, I thought you were going with the bar joke. Like I'm celebrating my first, I'm here commemorating my first blowjob.
Oh my god!
No,
I'm walking off
the
this
first
show.
First five
guys.
Bottles of whiskey don't get the taste out of my mouth.
I swear this is
basically the same joke.
This is the dismal gestures of RPG podcast.
Oh my god! This is the worst show ever.
Yeah. Anyway, it gets worse because he has a would you rather for us.
Oh boy.
Oh,
you are a sick, twisted individual, Freak 5 Chaos. Sick and twisted. I'm going to call Child Services just to be safe. He asked you, would you rather always smell the nastiest smell or always have the nastiest taste in your mouth?
I'm going to go with smell. You'll actually lose your sensitivity to the smell after about 7 seconds.
But you'll always taste things.
Yeah. I'll go with the smell. Yeah.
Yeah, you're
sick. That one was easy.
Yeah, it was an easy one.
Nice try, freak.
Yeah.
I think he was looking for a sick freak that actually likes.
Yeah, he said me and Frank were talking about blowjobs. I have no
recollection. Actually likes good bad tastes in their mouth perpetually.
Yeah, I remember that, Freak. We were talking about BJs. I think that was before we went on the air, actually. I don't know. All right, let's see. Any more Twitter stuff, Breakman?
No, not enough.
Yeah, that's plenty. What have you been playing, Break?
Same old, same old. I mean, you go to me first, and you know I'm playing the same things
I've
always
played.
Hard
Penis 5. It says here you've been playing Hard Penis 5 and Penis Grid 2.
Penis Grid 2, yes, and Final Fantasy Goalkeeper.
No, it's what says Goalie Keeper.
Goalie Keeper.
Oh, somebody change it to Goalie Keeper?
All right.
Goalie's like...
I didn't know it had soccer in it.
Well, I mean, the goalie's the only...
It could be hockey.
The goalie is the only position that actually makes sense to me in soccer. You know, because they actually let them use their hands.
Yeah.
But
to be fair, if it were only goalies, it wouldn't be much of a game. Or rather, it would be even less of a game than it is already.
That's more accurate, yes. Ollie Oxen.
What have you been playing, Mug?
I'm done. Go ahead. I want to hear this.
Mug, what have you been playing?
Now, okay, the thing is, the joke that you're making there was made by somebody else far better. There's a game that came out earlier on PC and on Xbox One called Oxenfree. It's like this kind of a super – it's kind of an old-style adventure game. Without all of like the, you know, here's your list of verbs and that kind of thing. But it's this next supernatural coming of age drama sort of deal. It's actually really, really good. And it came out on PS4 this week. And it's like $20, but there's like a PlayStation Plus discount. So I got it for $15 and I was very happy with it. It's not very long, about 4 or 5 hours, but I need to replay it because there's a whole bunch of different stuff that can happen in it. Really nice music, really solid voice acting, really, really good writing. I'm very, very pleased with it. But the joke, there's a game on the PS Vita. There's two games. They're actually skating games called Ollie Ollie. And there's like, you know, they missed out on a great opportunity by not bundling Oxenfree with Ollie Ollie. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm very clever. But other than that, I've been playing Salt and Sanctuary, and I picked up the Last Blade 2 on PS4.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
And nothing else.
And Ripping Glory Hole 3, is that...
I don't know where you're seeing that, because that's not the thing I wrote.
All right. Eric, what have you been playing, man?
I ran a Doom with the intention of playing it all weekend, but after I got to the fifth episode, I decided I'd stop because if I wanted to play it anymore, I'd play it on PC, so I need a new rig for that. So I can give a review based on what I have played. Because the game's not very long. There's like 13 levels. So it's like about the length of an episode. And I'm sure that there'll be DLC expansions or whatever later on that'll fill in the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm. All right. What other games you've been playing, man?
Odin's Fearly Thrasir. The review of that should be up later tonight, if not tomorrow. I don't know. It might be up now. Somebody could check.
What website would that one be?
TotallyGN.com.
Okay.
And I'm guessing the preview embargo for Seventh Dragon 3 has gone up, so I guess I could talk about how I've been playing that.
Mm-hmm.
And played a little bit of Altillier Sophie. Apparently the voice actors can't even get the name of Altillier right.
Yes! I like them. I like them.
Because the main
voice actor. Well, to be fair, character. Eric, neither can you.
Well, it was it's supposed to be Atelier in the American pronunciation, at least.
Well, and no, that would be more like Adelier if it were truly an American pronunciation.
Yeah, and that's exactly how she said it.
Yeah, so take that.
Oh, I love these people. I
only I think that Canadian
give them raises.
Voice actors were hired. Anyways, that's all I've really been playing.
I've just been doing a little MPQ. I did get upgrades on Ant-Man, which I've been waiting for forever. Like, a long time for some upgrades. But the problem is, I don't...
Oh, you got a penis extension, right? Man,
get out of here, you son of a bitch.
He's more like, you know, Velvet Ant-Man.
Get out of here, son of a bitch. I'm walking off. Walking off this goddamn show.
A little bit softer.
Oh, my God. This show really is junk. I think Frink 5 hit the nail on the head, man. It's junk.
But it's still better than Dragon Quest VIII.
It is not better than Dragon Quest VIII. Nothing except for a very few select things are better than Dragon Quest
VIII. Is Dragon Quest VIII better than Frank, though?
That's a good question.
That is a very good question.
Not quite better, but very, very close.
I think they're both equally terrible.
You're terrible. Your harmonica is terrible.
That nice comeback, dude. I don't suck. You suck.
I'm rubber. You're glue.
Somebody in chat tell Gripper that that's a link for the audio that I just put in chat. Gripper's in chat. What's up, Grip? And that's about it. I haven't had much time to play much of anything else. Let's move on to our stinkos, Eric. This is a good one. This is a good discussion here.
Apparently, this is from HollywoodReporter.com, and Rose McGowan calls out X-Men billboard that shows Mystique being strangled. 20th Century Fox has now apologized for the ad featuring Jennifer Lawrence that McGowan called casual violence against women. It says, as 20th Century Fox, X-Men Apocalypse stormed theaters over this long weekend. Critics took aim at billboards featuring Oscar Isaac's Apocalypse choking Jennifer Lawrence's Mystique. Among them was Rose McGowan, who elaborated on a May 25th Facebook post to THR. I don't know what THR means. Says, there's a major problem with men and women of the 20th Century Fox think casual violence against women is the way to market a film. There's no context in the ad and just a woman getting strangled. The fact that no one flagged this is offensive and frankly stupid. The geniuses behind this, and I use that term lightly, need to take a long, hard look at the mirror and see how they are contributing to society. Imagine if it were a black man being strangled by a white man or a gay male being strangled by a hetero, although how could you tell?
You know what? To be honest with you, I disagree with that particular point.
I honestly disagree too.
No.
I think it is a bad move on a PR level to do that sort of thing.
I don't think they were going for like a sexist angle. This was the two main characters of the movie, and this movie's called Apocalypse. They want to show
the apocalypse is stronger.
Awful
for very different reasons. It's awful because it's
aesthetically,
that means it's It's a
the problem is there's no context for it, and I get that. That it's like, I mean, I understand. It's like, you know, this is just a man choking a woman, devoid of context. Well, it's a, you know, it's the villain, you know, choking the hero, devoid of context, and it's like it's poor advertising in the sense that it gives you no idea of what the movie's going on, other than these two apparently don't like each other. But as like that whole comparison is like, what if it were a white man strangling a black man? It's like, I don't know. It seems to be that mountain out of all hell.
If you knew,
like Apocalypse is barely a man. Like he's moved so far beyond that at this point. Like,
yeah, go ahead, Eric. What do you want to say?
I think the poster is awful for very different reasons, mainly our artistic reasons, because it's still from the movie, which means it's a spoiler, and because of the actual scene it's using, it doesn't make very effective use of negative space.
Look, I agree with Rose McGowan on certain points. There is no context, so I can see how
– and
hold on, Eric. Let me finish. I can see where Rose McGowan would take exception to this along with a lot of other people without context, right? Like, if you knew nothing about the X-Men and comic books in general, which there's a good portion of society
but
that
does.
That's
the point of a billboard. You're trying to advertise it too.
Right. Yeah, but the thing is, this is not how you draw in. The thing is, the people who know who these characters are know the context, but a billboard is for people, it's largely for people who don't. And that's the problem.
That is the problem. And that's the point I was going to bring up, Mug. Like, I agree with Rose McGowan's point in that you don't have any context. And I actually think it is in bad taste to show
why
it
don't, that. Why I don't think such ads promote casual violence, I do think that Hollywood's just freaking myopic. And
I'll say this audience.
If they think that this is acceptable.
Yeah, I don't think it's as big a deal as people are making out to be, but it's pretty thoughtless on Fox's part.
I agree. I agree with that, Mug.
So my stinko is Fox being dumb.
Yeah, sure. I think it's just a case of Fox being absent-minded, not dumb, Eric, because they made a shit ton of money off of that movie, so they're definitely not dumb. I think they were just a little absent-minded. And they did make the point. They took it down, and you know, everybody's happier for it. But in context, like, neither one of these is male-female, even though they have parts of a male and a female. You know what I mean? Breakman alluded to it.
Well, why doesn't Quicksilver get his own movie? Fucking Wolverine's getting a third movie, and it's probably going to be awful because the other ones have been awful.
I tend to think it might not be that awful, especially if they go with the storylines I've been hearing. But
are they going Weapon X or something?
No, the problem with this movie is it was disjointed.
Yeah,
like, it wasn't a bad movie.
I've not seen it yet.
I'll talk about it later.
I've heard that it's basically like someone, a friend of mine, reviews. He stated that there's a really good 1 hour and 45 minute film in here. Unfortunately, the film's runtime is 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah, just a little bit.
There's some extra parts in this movie which, if they'd cut out, I'd say this movie would be like a 9. I can agree with that too, because there were really good parts of the movie, but there are parts of the movie like, why is this here? Why are we doing this? What?
And by the way, what's her face? Mystique is a mutant. She's not a woman. Yes. So you can't.
That's the kind of context that, like, I've never heard of that, but I'll take your word for it.
Right.
But
here's the other point.
Yeah, that is the thing in the comics or whatever that doesn't really have any bearing on an advertising.
Yeah, that's not actually true.
Plus, aren't mutants
because she has children? Okay. How many kids does she have? She has children.
Basically human because they share a lot of DNA that lets them procreate with others.
If you want to get technical, they'd still be considered human, or at least a subspecies, because they could still interbreed with humans.
Look, check this out. I can actually see within context of the comics and knowing the characters, right? I don't want the world to fucking come to an end when I say this. In the context of the comics, I actually think it puts women on a higher level than men for this reason. Like, Apocalypse is like...
What?
Hold on. You guys are not listening. I'll not say my point. Here's the deal. In the comics, Mystique is not nearly as powerful as what Jennifer Lawrence has been portraying her in the past few X-Men movies. Am I right? So in that context, Apocalypse is going up against the number one X-Men, right? I mean, she is the top of the chain when it comes to the X-Men, according to the movie's canon, right? She's the one that is the key to everything. I haven't seen the movie, so maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, Breakman. She's not as powerful as others or whatever. But from what I've seen in the movies,
she's actually not that important in the film.
Well, I haven't seen the film, so that's what I said. I don't have the film context to go.
Are we talking about Mystique?
Yes, Mystique. I'm talking about Mystique.
Yeah, she has the power to change her form and anybody she wants.
Right. So
she doesn't have superpowers. She's a very good fighter.
But in the movies, she's very prominent, way more so than
actually,
in the comics.
Her power does grant her some exceptional healing powers, and she has like immortality, basically.
All right. Well, they're talking about Apocalypse in chat. Wasn't terrible. Was so predictable. I that's what I felt. I have not seen it. I want to see it. I just haven't had the time or burning desire to see it, I guess.
I'm not going to do a review of the movie at this point because we're talking about it already. I might as well cover it. But I will say that I enjoyed it, but I do think that Apocalypse was portrayed poorly because I think they were trying to do an M. Bison type of thing with him where he used to be the consummate professional, but the fact is the rest of the movie is actually good. So he doesn't stand out, and it just shows as him trying too hard. Because every line he utters in the movie is pretty much overwrought.
And I've been hearing stuff about
Quicksilver. And he looks like Ivan Ooze. He really does.
that's one thing that gets me. Like, Quicksilver is definitely the best part of the movie. But he's in both X-Men movies, he's like 100% a good guy.
Also,
Quicksilver I'm familiar with is a total dick and a villain in the comics. I don't remember him being good.
To be fair, I'll say that I haven't read X-Men comics since shortly.
Yeah, it's been
after,
a long time since I have to.
Yeah, I have since Liefeld shortly after X-Force started up because Liefeld sucks and I hated him. but my memory of Quicksilver was basically he wasn't really so much a villain as he was he just really, really, really hated his father.
Yeah.
Also,
he would go with whatever whim suited him, self-serving, I guess.
Yeah. Hey guys, I hate to cut it short, but we gotta move.
Can
on
I
here.
Say something?
Go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
I also think that even though Wolverine was a cool cameo, I think that was 20 minutes of the movie we didn't need.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I was talking about that in chat. I don't want to spoil anything, so it's starting to talk about this. But that's one of my big problems with the movie. Why was this character in the movie?
Because they want to allude to the next Wolverine movie, which is probably Weapon X.
No, I'm not talking about Wolverine. I'm talking about the villain for this part of the movie. Yeah, why was he even in this movie?
This
should have been
that guy.
Yeah, this should have been about Apocalypse, but at a certain point, it veers off and they're dealing with this other villain and stuff like that. It was dumb.
Yeah.
They should have stayed on point.
Yeah. All right, break. Your stinko.
I mean, the writer should have stayed on point.
And they cut Jubilee out for no fucking reason whatsoever.
And Jubilee did absolutely nothing.
Because Jubilee sucks. She's just that's there. Why. She sucks. All right, break.
They made her do more because, doesn't she get a little bit more powerful later?
I don't know. Did she just?
I'm not know if that all I've ever remember her doing.
Isn't she kind of similar to Dazzle?
No, Dazzler actually can do some powerful stuff. Dazzler can do some powerful things.
Yeah. I
just remember the X-Men cartoon in the 90s. They really wanted to make Jubilee a thing.
Yeah.
All right, Breakman, your stinko.
My stinko goes to, I'm sure everyone fucking hurt. I do. I agree, Wyland. I love the Wolverine scene, but it was added.
Yeah.
Wyland sees Fassbender crushed it. He did. I agree.
Fassbender crushes everything. Fassbender was in a movie called Blood Creek, which was fucking awesome. You guys should watch that.
Fassbender is pretty much the only reason I have any hope for the Assassin's Creed movie.
Yeah, I agree. All right, hopefully it'll be the greatest video game
movie. The Ass Creed movie. Yeah.
All right, Breakman.
Oh, okay. So I'm sure everybody's heard it by now. It's on the news. It's been national news. But at the Cincinnati Zoo earlier this week, a child And people are calling this an accident, and I fucking totally 100% disagree, and I'm sick of hearing it's an accident. A child slipped into the gorilla cage. Now, this child didn't, like, walk on ice and, like, fall in accidentally. No, he was intentionally trying to get in with the gorillas, and it was heard. He was heard telling his mother beforehand that, hey, Mom, I'm going in there. And she's like, no, you're not, and she ignored him. So he goes in there in the gorilla cage. And for about 10 minutes, there was a lot of terror because there is a four or three – nobody's even certain about the age at this point. Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years old child in there with about a 400, 500-pound gorilla.
Yeah.
And this gorilla proceeded to pick the kid up and kind of drag him around. And if you watch the videos
– I did, yeah.
You kind of see that the gorilla's kind of –
dragging him
sort
around.
Of protective of the child, but at the same time, he's treating him like he's a baby gorilla.
Right.
Yeah. He's not a baby gorilla.
Well, I'll say I've seen completely opposite interpretations by two different, primatologists. Mm-hmm. So, I'm saying, this was about to lead where, typically what it would do at this point, he's going to pick him up and he's going to start, basically using him like a bludgeon.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And other people were saying another expert was saying, he's being protective. And it's like,
I agree. I saw both, but I've seen way more people on the protective angle. But it's still – continue on, Breakman. You finish the story, man. And then
as far as I don't think from what I've seen, it doesn't look like the gorilla was violent towards the child. But this is a gorilla who could easily crush coconuts with his hands and stuff
He's 400 pounds.
Yeah, even
one thing that should have been done.
Accidentally,
one of the major problems of that was that you have all these people, these people who know nothing about gorillas, apparently, all these people screaming at a gorilla.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
Shut up.
That means there's a threat.
Yeah, it was agitating the gorilla. Yes, because they at one point the zoo officials tried to get him out, they tried to talk him down.
Yeah,
but because like you said, the crowd yelling at him, they had him in an agitated state.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that I think it's shit, and some people may think I'm a monster for saying this, but the kid's life was not worth the gorillas.
I agree,
it's not worth more than the gorillas.
I
will say that the zoo did pretty much the only thing they could.
Let me finish because okay, so he had the kid in there for 10 minutes. They called 911 and everything else, and a lot of things were tried. But like I said, they tried to talk the gorilla down, but because of the agitated state he was in, he didn't come down. And at no point I felt like it looked to me like he wanted to intentionally hurt the child. But like I said, this is a 400 or 500 pound being that isn't used to a small child that's fragile. At any split second, he could kill this child. So they were at a point the zoo had to choose between tranquilizer darts, which won't take effect immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Which could definitely
which says a lot about the state of tranquilizers.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold on. But that would agitate the gorilla more. And potentially put the little kid's life in risk. So they chose to kill the gorilla.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible thing because this
risk,
gorilla
actually,
is
– Hang on. One of the risks of tranquilizing it, I mean it's like – and Eric, we're never going to have instant tranquilization, not with the technology, not with the way that tranquilizers work. Because if you could literally tranquilize someone instantly, it would just kill them.
Yeah.
And you couldn't taser him because they were in water, so that would have
let
you
and that was the thing. It's like if they tranquilize him, there's every chance that he would get dragged. Basically he would drag the kid into the water. He dies. The kid, and holding onto the kid drowns.
Yeah,
it's still the same nightmare for the zoo.
Yeah,
they were left
because if you just went for incapacitation of their legs, they'd probably still get agitated.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the zoo was left with no choice.
I agree with the zoo's decision to put
let me finish. So the zoo, like I said, they were unfortunately they had to kill the gorilla, and I think they had to. And at that point, they were like you said, they were left in an impossible situation. Child's life was in danger, and they have to.
And if they hadn't done it, the zoo would have been shut down.
Oh yeah,
they would have been sued into oblivion.
So my biggest problem, other than the death of the gorilla. Is that since this has happened, people there have been two sides. There have been the side that there are multiple sides. Some people are blaming the zoo. They don't have enough of a barrier or anything like that, which I guess I can kind of agree with. Even though this zoo has been open for a long time, I've been there many times. I've seen the gorillas many times. I've probably seen that gorilla. Mm-hmm. And if he's the one I'm thinking of, he was a playful gorilla who liked to swing on the ropes and the bushes and stuff. And he was putting on a show for the people when I was there. Yeah. If he's the gorilla I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But anyway, you had to try really hard and do some potential unbelievable things to get into that cage.
Mm-hmm.
To get through the barrier, the metal ropes and the barriers that were in it, and get through the bushes. So some people are blaming the zoo for not having enough of a barrier, which they've changed now. Obviously, now they have a bigger barrier and everything like that. They've said they're. I don't know what it looks like. I haven't seen it. Some people are saying this was an accident. I hate those people. And the other people, like myself, are blaming the parent.
Yes. Thank you, Breakman, for saying that.
There was negligence. There was definitely negligence on the part of the parent. When he says, I want to go in there, it's like, no, I think it's time we leave now.
Fox News sucks, too, for blaming them because they're black, targeting the family because they're black.
I had no idea what the
yeah. Well, see, that's the thing in the video. I couldn't tell the race of the child.
Yeah, nor
but
could
the, I. But there were people immediately from both sides going like, "Oh, look at this! Like it's a little white boy. Like now they're shooting a gorilla because it's a little white boy. Like oh, it's a black kid. Those white people white people probably threw him in, or it's a white kid, and the black people probably did it. Both races' sides were speaking out." Obviously.
Yes.
It doesn't fucking matter what the race of the child was. The race of the person, of the people, is the most trivial fucking thing about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For anybody to make it about race, like, this is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah.
So I think the moral lesson here is people suck.
So my problem, to be honest,
I think that's the moral lesson to take away from just about every situation.
So
you can possibly
my big problems with this mother, she knows her child.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard parents all week long coming out in defense of this woman saying it's an accident.
It's not an accident.
The kid intentionally did it.
Right.
You're saying by your logic, when a kid does something wrong, that's an accident. You're just saying you don't want to be blamed for the kid's mistake.
But if we take this same situation on a much more trivial scale, mm-hmm. we say like, I want an ice cream sandwich. No, you can't have an ice cream sandwich. The kid gets an ice cream sandwich anyway. That's not an accident.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the
result of this, a gorilla, an endangered gorilla, was killed. It had to be put down to save this kid's life.
There's no question it was.
This
tragic.
Is not an accident when the kid tried to get in there.
Yeah.
If the kid was walking by and slipped on some ice and fell in, that's an accident.
There's a couple of things here.
And speaking of this, to reinforce my statement about accidents, earlier in this week, after this whole gorilla incident, there was a Lego show, a child accidentally knocked over one of the Legos, which was estimated to cost about $15,000 worth of labor that the guy put into it. And you know what he got? He got an apology because it was an accident.
Yeah.
The kid knocked it over. That's not a fucking accident. Parents need to be held accountable.
Yeah.
It's like this world, nobody wants to hold a parent accountable.
I agree with that 100%, especially here in the United States. But check this out. I do think that the zoo has a partial responsibility in this too, because
I can agree with that.
Because of what you just said, what was he, 3-4 years old? How did a 3 or 4 year old break their defense system to get into that cage?
Specifically designed so that no one gets in, animals don't get out.
Yeah,
that's the idea of an enclosure.
He squeezed through some barriers that
right.
I
mean that.
So
basically, what we're saying is all the kid needed was a hammer.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the deal, though, guys. Let me finish my point here, and then we'll move on. I honestly think the zoo has a little bit of responsibility in it, because kids are crafty. All right, kids are the only ones.
But this is a closure that's been up for many years. They've had an ape exhibit for 38 years, as long as I've been alive.
Yeah, that's irrelevant.
This something like this has never happened before.
The kids squeezed
between some things that people didn't think were possible. In fact, the zoo was actually reviewed by the National whatever they are back in April, and they passed every test.
Yeah, I understand that, Breakman, but they still didn't
pass. I get it. I get it, what you're saying.
Honestly, there is some responsibility on the zoo's part, regardless of what they had. If that kid breached it, and kids are crafty, man, they should have tested this a long time ago. Actually,
that should be their beta test. So, like, all right, can your kid get it? You know, basically, I hire some people.
Yes.
See if
yes.
the kid can get
I think
here.
Basically they were assuming that parents would be parents.
Well, I understand
they shouldn't
that
have
made
too, that assumption.
Look, people are dumb, Breakman, yes. And this woman.
There are a lot of bad and negligent parents. And one of the things that has pissed me off the most I've heard is obviously they're good parents because they take the kids to the zoo.
Yeah.
That's the qualification?
Right.
That's the qualification for good parents? You take your kids to the fucking zoo?
Here's the thing.
It's like saying taking them to church makes them a good parent.
Oh, I took my kids to Kings Island. Obviously, I'm a great parent.
Yeah, here's the deal. Like
they
like,
ran around and stole some shit, but I'm still a great parent.
Babies, kids.
Eric, hang on. Here's the deal. Like they should have tested that with kids. Like kids are crafty, man. The kids are the only people in the world usually that are perceptive enough to find out how magicians do their trick. That's why magicians don't like kids sitting in the front row of their shows because they're very perceptive. They can point out a lot of things that older people just it goes over people's heads. Like I can't tell you the number of times I've seen like Penn and Teller and I'm totally amazed. I mean,
kids are not as prone to misdirection and, in the way that magicians work as adults are.
Right. So that's one point. The other point is you're right. The mother's a douche and I don't care what.
Yeah. She said she knew like how her kid was like that. He's rambunctious.
Yeah.
Like, if you know he's like that, then get a fucking leash for him. Like, it's not your right to take your kid everywhere. Like, I don't know what happened in the last, like, 40 years. When I was a kid, there are places I was not allowed to go.
Yeah.
My parents would not take me because it's not appropriate for a kid. There are things I was not allowed to do because, you know, it's not appropriate for a kid. Yeah. Or you might break it or you might do something stupid.
Right,
you're not
old
enough yet.
Exactly.
But nowadays, parents take their kids with them for everything.
Yeah,
like I was at the racetrack a couple of years ago, and there was a woman with like three screaming kids there.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, what are you doing here, gambling and alcohol with your toddlers?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree, Breakman. It's mostly on the woman's shoulders, but partially the zoo's too. Like they should have known better. I mean, you know, that people can get in weird places, man. You just got to try to protect yourself the best you can. And then if somebody actively tries to do something, then you shouldn't be held liable for it, you know?
I know. Like I said, the thing that's pissed me off the most is people calling this an accident.
Yeah.
The kid was trying to get in there. That is not an accident. Look up the fucking word in the dictionary, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah,
it's not an accident.
I had another stinko here that apparently got erased. Earlier this week, it was revealed that Konami's doing another pachinko machine, and this time it's Metal Gear Solid. I wonder if it's tactical, erotic violence action or something.
Erotic violence.
It's
pulling
tactical
the lever.
Erotic stealth.
Yeah, tactical erotic stealth. I love it. I love it.
It's, it's basically a sneak blowjob.
This is
best video game ever.
This is a fellatio job, Snake. Use the cardboard box.
Glory hole.
Wait.
Hold the back.
Weapons
that's
and equipment. Hang on, guys. Weapons and equipment OSP.
Yeah, exactly.
God, you guys are so lame. You don't get that.
Yeah. I giggled.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mug.
Weapons and equipment OSP was on-site procurement.
Yeah, we need to move on, Mug. You're Steve.
I guess he throws dildos to distract guards.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, instead of magazines, there you go. Or fleshlights. Fleshlights, even better.
Yeah, fleshlights.
Anyway.
KY jelly.
Oh, God. Anyway, all right. So here's the short one. I'm upset that I can't be at the Reason Rally this weekend. I really wanted to, and it wasn't in the cards. The other stink I have is a little more involved. I live in a mobile home. Mm-hmm. And I have for a couple years now after I lost the – I got laid off from that job that I had for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I had to cash out my 401k and get a mobile home. And as it turns out, the I knew that this place was shit. We found this out very shortly after we got it. We didn't know just how much of it was – how much it was shit and just how much they – this place had been basically run down. And they did kind of a spit polish to hide the flaws.
Yeah.
But we found that behind our stove, you know, there's like one of those like a range hood vent that, you know, that vents out to the outside. And we realized that it had been leaking. We'd had a leak there for the past few years.
Ugh, awful.
Yeah, and so there was a lot of rotted studs, and, you know, it's quite a mess. So we had to get someone to come out and fix it. But, like, getting it fixed is a major pain in the ass. We've still, you know, we've gotten, like, the major stuff done, the fresh insulation put up and everything, and new floorboard put down, you know, subfloor put down there, and we've got a cabinet that we're putting up either tonight or tomorrow. But what really got me about this was that we found that when the wallboard started really, you know, having problems, the paint, we found that, like, underneath the paint that it was coming up, there was already mold and patching. It's like the people that sold us this place knew about it and patched over it and painted over
it. Aren't there laws against that in your state?
Not, the thing is, with a mobile home, you can it's not considered like a home, so it doesn't fall under the same laws because it doesn't have to pass like an inspection in the same way that an actual construction does. And so basically they can sell it as is, and anything they can hide, they can get away with.
That's bullshit, man. That law's got to change.
And the guy that we got, you know, we had a guy who came out and who replaced our AC and everything a few months back when how we used our tax money. And that's like, it was money well spent, mm-hmm. really well spent. But he wasn't available because of this massive, you know, rise in temperatures. He's been absolutely flooded with HVAC calls. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we had to get another guy to come out, and he was like, he's not like a, you know, licensed bonded or anything like that. He was just a handyman. I was like, okay, he did good work. He was just an asshole, and it just, and I'm just like, oh my god, please get this over with so you can leave.
Yeah.
And it's this made comment talking about like the state of it, referred to it as, and I quote, "They niggered it up."
Oh.
End quote.
Oh,
and yeah, and I'm sitting here like, okay, he's doing the job, and I'm not gonna, you know, it's not worth taking a stand on this while our wall and floor is open.
Yeah,
and you know, but it's just like, oh god, I just really wanted to, you know, just kick him the fuck out. And then we had to go down to Lowe's, and he walks by somebody and says like, oh, that boy looks like he's got some sugar in his tank.
Oh god, man,
and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. That's
and God, just people like that irritate the shit out of me. It's like, in what universe do you think it's okay to talk to people like this?
Yeah. Or
talk
about people. We need our own country. That's what we need to form our own fucking country.
It's our
country of Brickman.
RPG Grinderstan.
Yeah. Grinderstan. I like that, man.
Right. Hey, Grinderstan. I think we have an episode title.
Mug, I'm gonna have to tell you my home remodel horror stories sometime.
And in our own country, we want you to know, minorities, you are 100% welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Donald Trump is definitely not welcome.
And majorities, like women who are marginalized, even though you're the majority, you're welcome too.
Okay, I'm going to move on to my stinko real quickly, guy, because we got to kind of get this going. Mine stinko, no surprise, North Glen Police Department. Fuck you all.
You talked nice about the police last week, so it has to be bad.
Stash again.
Fuck them. Fuck them to hell, man. Like the police officer had to have us down at the police station. I told you guys about how my son was basically pushed aside by a chaperone and, you know, whatever. I mean, the school thought it was kosher enough to call the police, so I felt it kosher enough to press charges. Well, the police say that there was no crime committed because, get this, guys, she apologized. So, apparently,
that's a Christian method of policing.
I can go ahead and push somebody And as long as I apologize, I'm good to go. So I'll remember that, North Glen Police Department. Fuck you. Fuck all police, but fuck you in particular. But all right, let's move on to our sweet old Moria.
Well, I had gaming-wise, I've had a pretty solid week. As I mentioned before, I picked up Oxenfree and had a hell of a good time with that. It was actually kind of amazing. And I got platinums in both Bloodborne and Salt and Sanctuary. So I'm pretty pleased with myself about that. And last week when I was out for my elder stepchild's drama, she's a drama kid. And she got an award for like best performance, best dramatic performance, best lead dramatic performance in one of their plays that they did. And I was like, that's really awesome. I'm really proud of you. Mm. So I was pretty, that's a high point. And she's actually going from a sophomore to a senior next year. She'll be graduating a year early.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Speaking of that, I'm assuming you're done, right, Moria?
Yeah.
That's a great, great sweeto, man. And it kind of ties into mine. Both of my kids, C1 and C2, finished the year really, really strong. My son's off to high school, and my daughter's off to third grade, and they're just good kids. So that was kind of the highlight of my week. Breakman, nice. Your sweeto. Breakman, did we lose Breakman? All right, Eric.
I'm muted. I'm sorry.
I don't have a sweeto.
All right, Breakman.
My sweeto is that you guys all agree with me. on my stinko. I'm happy. I thought somebody was going to fight back I think that's my new test as far as parenting skills are concerned.
Yeah.
If you think your children should be punished, or you think you should be punished for the actions of your children,
yes.
You're not worried about what your kids are doing. I think that's probably a good sign towards your parenting skills.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're thinking that when your kid does something it's just an accident,
yeah.
I think that's a reflection of your parents.
Not my
skills.
Precious little angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I've learned something this week.
Yeah.
And learning
okay,
is kind of bad. Wait, yeah, I'm
sorry.
I
learned something today.
I learned something today.
We need to play the little piano thing.
Freak, why? Oh, I see. Freak's stinko is his daughter's dance recital and his son's last soccer game this weekend. So
you got to sit through both of them? Ugh.
Yeah.
And sitting through a kid's soccer game is painful.
All it says when I look at it is Harambe, which I'm not sure what that means.
Harambe, that's the
the name gorilla. Of the silverback gorilla that was killed.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. Let's see.
And if anybody saw the some of the interviews and stuff, like the guy who raised him, there are people who are saying this is just an accident. Let's just move on. A lot of them don't seem to understand that this gorilla was family to a lot of people.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
The people at the zoo, they like this gorilla. Like the gorilla is an intelligent animal, you know.
Yeah,
guy who raised the gorilla, mm-hmm. the day it happened, like he was inconsolable.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's going to look like the. Like after Luke killed the Rancor, remember that bit? You're just like,
yes, yes.
Oh my
yes.
God! You know, it's a monster. It's like, no, it was actually someone's friend.
Yeah.
Yes, to that guy, even though he's this monster that eats everything in its path, eats people and families and whatever. To that guy, that was his family.
Yeah. Well, it sucks, man. It really, really does suck, man. It's a horrible, tragic thing. A lot of blame to be passed around.
Everything that happened that day was absolutely terrible.
You know what I think about people that believe that it was an accident, we all should just move on, Breakman? I think they're Trump supporters. That's what I think. All right, let's do – Eric, please, real quickly, and I mean super fast, get through your reviews of
– And no thanks to all you guys.
Doom, X-Men, TMNT, and
– I already did X-Men because we were talking about it already.
Okay. Whatever you need to do a review on, man. Let's get to it.
Doom, it's more of a preview because I only play the first 5 levels. I mean, I'm the type of reviewer who doesn't necessarily require myself to finish the game. I don't really believe in that. I think that's only applicable for certain games, especially visual novels, because you need to know the story in order to talk about it. But for a game like Doom where you're just killing things a lot of times, I don't think I need to play the end, especially since it doesn't have a very big story. Yeah. But the game is a very good remake of the original Doom, and I like the way how they updated the gameplay so that now you can get like upgrades to your like passive skills that you have, like to your weapons, like mainly in the mods area where you can just mod a shotgun to shoot explosive rounds or have like multiple burst rounds if you want.
Like what I saw the footage of it, the glory kill system looked really entertaining.
That was too. So like that's a good way to get extra health if you need it. And you'll be running out of health a lot in this game because the game's actually fairly challenging even on the Hurtling Plenty difficulty. The only thing I didn't like was the fact that when there's a lot of areas in the game that feel like arena fights where you get locked into the area and there's less room to move around because the doors get locked or something. And there's less freedom to move around in, although there's a lot more freedom to move around in than that corridor shooter Doom 3 was. So that's at least an advantage there.
That's an old trope of the first person shooters of the old day. I guess they want to like kind of harken back to it.
So it's still Doom. Linear. It's still Doom, and it's still and unlike the original Doom, it's linear, but there's more to do in the areas.
Did you say unlike the original Doom?
I was gonna say Doom was always like start level, end level. Do you mean like you have to go around to different parts of the level to get keys?
Yeah, and you
have
to backtrack a lot and get keys. In this one, it's more like you get key and then you keep moving forward. Or you destroy a couple things and then you go to an area.
Mm. So it doesn't sound like there's a lot of like hidden paths or stuff.
I kind of wish that the gore nests weren't guarded, because after you destroy a gore nest, you summon more enemies. So I don't like having to deal with two sets of enemies in one single area. And the game has an autosave system and a checkpoint system. You can't just save wherever you want, which is annoying because I think the game should have a little bit more checkpointing, or it should have like segmented areas where it will just checkpoint automatically, kind of like Half-Life, so that you can at least get through an area and not have to wait till you get to the next checkpoint to like, you know, deal with the next thing. So like, what if I wanted to collect health and then have that checkpoint and then go to the next area with all that health collected instead of having to do it over again if I die?
Well, I mean, I understand like the old save scumming approach to saving in those first person shooter games was basically there to, you know, allow people to suck all the challenge out of the game. It was like, I'll save now, but it's like, right, you know, I know there's an enemy right around the corner. I'll save now. Oh, he killed me. There we go. It's like, well, then you don't, you know, there's not really a challenge there. It's essentially like just, you know.
Also, the chainsaw is an instant kill machine.
Nice.
And it runs on fuel, and depending on how large the enemy is, it'll use certain amounts of fuel. But
then it tosses out a bunch of ammo once you use it.
Yeah. Which is good if you're running low on ammo.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing. It's like, you know, glory kills are for, you know, making sure you have health, and chainsaw is your tool for when you're out of ammo.
Although they can still drop health. So
yeah. That's,
and they usually often drop more. It usually happens when you have more ammo to.
Yeah. All right, so that's but, more.
As for a score, I'd probably give it a 9.
Okay,
nice.
Cool. So yeah, if I. When I put it down after four levels because I much rather play it on PC and even though it's 60 FPS on each console, I think a mouse and keyboard set fits that game better, and I want it to look prettier, so that's another reason. So I got to get it ready for that. And TMT Out of the Shadows. When I first heard of this movie, I thought it was going to be a soft reboot, and I guess it kind of is, because it addresses the fact that the first movie happened, but I don't think it makes any mention of the sidekick or right-hand man of the Shredder in the first movie at all. And I think it kind of replaces that guy with Baxter Stockman. Like, Baxter was apparently with him always, you just didn't see him or something.
Oh, that's your fault.
Anyways,
I'm kidding. Go ahead.
but unfortunately, Karai is still just there, and she isn't developed at all.
So her and Leo aren't getting it on yet.
I'm wondering if Karai will be the main villain in the next film, but for reasons that become apparent in the movie if you see it. But anyways, the story does involve a certain alien. Well, if you saw the previews, you probably know that already. Bebop
previews ruin everything.
But Bebop and Rocksteady and that alien are all done really well. They're pretty much like more serious versions of the characters they were portrayed in the 80s cartoon, with the exception of Bebop and Rocksteady, who are just idiots, period.
Yeah, we don't have Rocksteady cracking stupid jokes. He's like, "You rang, Krang? I wanted to say that."
No, they're cracking jokes with each other usually. Mm. Mm-hmm. But and make usually fart jokes too.
Oh boy!
Yeah.
All right. So what are you getting team into?
But
I want to know more about Stephen Meal.
Stephen Meal? You mean the guy who played Casey Jones?
Yes.
I didn't know who he was, so that's why I asked. But he does a good job, and I thought it was a little interesting making him a cop that gets fired and is angry about that, and goes beating up on the foot because he's
so like, he's the Punisher.
So I guess he wants to be a detective, so he decides to do detective work while he's suspended because he failed to secure Shredder's prison transfer. Anyways, yeah, that's a little spoiler, but you know Shredder's in the movie, so of course that's going to happen. But it's a much better movie because the turtles are doing more turtles things, and there's actual villains to give it a little bit more life. Because of the first movie, it was just the Shredder and origin story. We don't need origin stories. Fuck origin stories.
Yeah, we've had a lot of turtles origin stories.
And although the inner conflict in this movie is them getting along, because they didn't kind of do that in the first one.
All right.
No, that's also turtle-esque.
Yeah, but
especially Leo and Raph.
The worst thing about this movie is the absolutely stupid explanation they give as to why Bebop Rocksteady became Rhinoceros and Warthog, and or whatever the other way around, would be because apparently, when you use the mutagen, it traces back to the animal ancestry of humanity, which is stupid because the only animals humans have ancestry to would be primates.
So apparently we come from rhinos and warthogs now.
The only way this even makes sense is that this takes place in an alternate reality where humans evolve differently,
I guess. So what are you giving TMNT, man? We got.
I'm gonna give it a 7.
Oof.
I think I gave the last one a 6.
All right. I guess it's fair.
That's that. Like I said, we were talking before the show, but all the non-spoiler reviews I've seen like this movie quite a bit more than the first one.
Yeah.
I just find it personally insulting when they just completely throw known science out the window for a plot device, which they didn't need to explain. They could have just, you know, just said, "Oh, it's a movie thing."
Yeah, or they could have just said that mutant gen just mutates them into whatever.
Randomly, you know? Yeah.
Tiger Claw says maybe it's reincarnation. You were once an animal, whatever.
I was once a vagina. Explains a lot.
Yeah, if they
what do you mean once?
That, I probably would have bought it because the turtles themselves were in the comics were apparently reincarnations of like ninja guys.
Oh, Freak would like to point out science, too. Frank is the only person who's never been reincarnated.
Son of a bitch.
That's scientifically proven.
Walking out.
Because he's the first man ever.
Walking out. Walking out. Walking off this show, man. Son of a bitches. All right. So that's, I think, Mug, you have a review of Oxenfree. Go for it.
Yeah,
man.
I did. Basically, the way that the game works, I mean, and one of the nice things is they apparently added in a couple scenes and some more dialogue stuff
when they put out the PS4 version, and they've also put out, they did a same day patch that adds in that same, or same day DLC that adds that stuff in for the Xbox One and PC versions. And as far as I know, it's free. So, hey, cool. And, but it's basically, you know, you play as this girl named Alex, and she goes off on this island with her friends, and there's some, you know, there, and there's, you know, that's like, okay, some of them get along, some of them don't know each other, and it's like, it's, you know, it's, it starts as kind of this boilerplate cast of characters, it's got a supernatural bent to it, and the way that it, the supernatural element works is that it has to do with radio waves. Like, you carry around this radio that you can, you know, fire up at any time, and you know, there are certain points where you use the radio, and it's like this. It barely qualifies as a puzzle. It's mostly just about making choices in the conversations to direct how the game plays out. But like the music is really nice, and the stuff with the radio. I don't want to go too much into it because it spoils a lot if I start talking about it. But you know, there's a supernatural element that plays into the use of the radio, and there are these these loops of time where you keep going through the same scene, and you're like, why does this keep happening? And you'll be presented with similar bits of conversation, but your conversational choices will be affected by your knowledge of the fact that you've been through this before. And it all plays out in about 4 or 5 hours. And it's a really interesting story. The characters are likable. And it was just like, when I was done with it, I was like, wow, okay, I need to sit down and process this for about 10 minutes. And that's basically what I did. I set the controller aside, turned off the PS4, and I just kind of thought about it. And I was just like, wow, I cared about these characters. I have emotion, you know, regarding like how things played out. And
that's
like, that doesn't happen. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. You know, it wasn't like, oh my God, I'm a complete mess like I was at the end of To the Moon. Which is still one of my favorite games of all time, but it is one of the best like indie adventure games I've ever played. I'll see how I feel after a couple more playthroughs. You know, when I see how things play, how differently things play out, how much the story branches and everything. But I would say it's a 9 out of 10.
Wow, that's high praise for Oxenfree. Yeah.
I spent $15 on a, let's put it this way. I spent $15 on a, you know, on a 5-hour indie game, and I'm very pleased with the money I spent.
Yeah. There are certain games like that. I mean, like what's a game like that? I spent $20 on Wolf Among Us, and I thought that was $20
Wolf?
Very well spent.
Now Wolf.
Never get away from this shit, man. I'm walking off this goddamn show, man.
But so Frank,
funny is the way you said it, you like stressed woof. So I thought you were just saying it that way to be an ass that time.
So it's not.
No, Frank was the one that did the Big Bang. He farted.
Yeah. Oh, right.
God damn it, Eric. God damn it, man.
I think I get it. It's like when a werewolf, when the moon is full, actually turns into the sound of woof, woof.
walking off, I swear to God. All right, that's this week's show, man. Let's just end it on the low note that this show always is anyways, man. You know, just it is what Freak 5 says it is. It's junk. It's junk. This show's junk, man.
It's only junk because we refuse to participating in his sick fantasies.
this is true. I mean, he is, you know, I mean, and the only time I can ever stand to make any kind of concession.
That's the only way it could get worse. And guess what? I hung up on Mug. Son of a bitch. I think that's about it, guys. I don't have anything else. I think we're set. We were going to have a discussion on some other shit, but we're definitely out of time. Freak, I hate you. You're exiled, man. You son of a bitch.
Wait, what did Freak do?
He said harmonica.
Son of a bitch. They're walking off this goddamn show.
What's wrong with the harmonica, Frank?
Do I have to go over this?
He's got a traumatic
shock. Yes. I want to know. Like, was there...
Did one,
yeah.
did the,
Did harmonica
bite you as a child or something?
I'm getting this impression, like from like anybody. Eric said, like there was a traumatic childhood experience.
Look, check this out. Anybody, and I mean anybody, can play that stupid instrument. It doesn't sound good. It's awful.
Let me guess. Harmonica. You went to a Huey Lewis concert and like he spit on you on accident or something.
Look,
when he got to the harmonica part.
Look, check this out.
Or you went to a store and there was this child playing harmonica and you went to play it too. No,
he's got an inferiority complex. He wanted to be the master harmonica player.
Oh
and he
my
failed.
God! Look,
he thought he was.
It's
the best.
Not hard to be
and
a
then
master.
He saw Huey Lewis playing. He's like, God damn it!
It's like being a Pokemon master, but
look,
you ended up.
I guess
being
it makes sense.
Like, I'm not even the best, dude. I'm just okay.
I guess
like,
it makes sense. I guess all this harmonica shit makes sense because Mug is from South Carolina, so that does make sense, man. It makes a lot of sense.
Frank?
That's racist.
Frank. what, Mike?
Frank, you really need to know this. It's South Carolina, not South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Wait, so I've been pronouncing... God. Frank, you lied to me again. I've been pronouncing it wrong this whole time.
I hate you guys so much.
And I can say one thing, Frank. Your hatred is so much better than Dragon Quest VIII.
Oh, get out of here, you son of a bitch. What are your plugs before I hang up on your ass, man? Come on. What are your plugs?
Find me on
Harmonica sword.
Son of a bitch.
On Twitter, it's at Moria Mug, MoriaMug.
All right. Eric, your plugs.
Excuse me. You can find me at EricRBG on Twitter, or you can find my reviews at TotallyGN.com, GameTactics.com. BostonBastardBrigade.com and VogNetwork.com. And there's two reviews on HonestGamers.com. And I've got a YouTube channel, Funny T-Man. Still haven't uploaded that video because I still haven't found that last new M&M flavor because I want to do a video on all three of them. I'm not doing it until then. But I do have a Yoo-Hoo candy bar.
Cool.
It says milk chocolate flavor, letting you know that's, yeah, Yoo-Hoo isn't really chocolate. So, it'll be interesting.
Oh my God, really?
Brinkman, I hate you. You son of a bitch. You're exiled. Walking off this show. What else, Eric?
Harmonica sword.
Oh, fucking son really, of I'm a not, bitch, Eric.
I keep hearing a lot of empty threats and, you know, never any follow-up.
Oh God, I hate you.
Other than that, have a good weekend, I guess.
Yeah, this is the last show for RP Grinders this week. Breakman.
We'll be doing a 400.
Breakman, you're... Yeah, we're not even going to make 400, Eric. Breakman, your last plugs ever on RP Grinders. Come on, man.
And every single time you swing the harmonica sword...
Oh, my God. I hung up on
Insta kill, and then it plays that the level up music.
Oh my God!
Come on, Frank. You know you liked it. You know
awful.
You love this level
you
up.
You guys
music,
are
Frank.
Awful, man. This is the
Come
worst.
Come on, Frank.
Thing. This show is the worst thing that's ever happened to anybody.
On,
ever.
Are you kidding? This is one of the most enjoyable shows we've had in weeks.
This show is definitely worse than Dragon Quest VIII, man.
Like,
son of
you
bitches.
You won't even do the sound effects with me, Frank, and you say you love that game, you son of a bitch.
Oh, my God.
I mean, what was bitch. That one? I'm sorry.
Harmonica slide.
Your plugs, son of a bitch. I hate you, Mug. God damn it. Son of a bitches. All right. Breakman, your plugs.
You can follow me at break_man and at RP Grinders. And I'll be playing with my harmonica.
Dungeon Buster or something else in chat, man. You son of a bitch.
Harmonica right, sword plus one.
your is that it for your plugs, Break?
Yeah, that's it. Harmonica right. sword plus two.
Oh God damn it. Walking
Harmonica slime.
Harmonica slime.
I already said that.
You guys suck, man. All right. Follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches if you want a lot of
the harmonica hork.
On Twitter at Frank Branches if you want to follow a lot of nonsense and nothing.
That be a Monica?
At RP Grinders. Make sure you do not see Age of Apocalypse. Like nobody
so,
really
what,
is.
So what tune does the harmonica armor play
son
when it gets hit?
God damn it, you son of a bitch. I hate you, Breakman.
Well, there has to be a sound effect.
Oh, God. No sound effect. It's silent. It's just silent.
The well, it's a harmonica. When it gets hit, it's going to make a sound
harmonica.
Effect.
Silent harmonica.
I don't know how you could argue with this.
Yeah, there you go. How about a harmonica golem? It's made up of harmonicas.
Oh, my God. That's awful. You guys suck,
and when
man.
You defeat him, you don't get experience. You don't get gold.
I hate you guys. I hate you guys, man. Yuck, that's disgusting, Freak Vibe. I'm not even going to say that on air. Until next week, everybody, have a safe weekend. You know, we want to see you back here next week. Until then, we...
Oh, but I thought this was the last episode ever.
It is. It's the last episode ever. I hope you enjoyed it. Grinders was a shitty, junky show. It's been a horrible fucking...
It's the worst experience of
8 years
life.
Of my yeah, life. It's the worst thing that's ever happened. Mug is awful. Eric is shitty. Breakman's fucking the worst thing that ever happened at podcasting.
Breakman's an asshole.
Really? Breakman's worse than Kaijudo.
Yeah, Breakman's worse than Kaijudo.
Oh, damn it. That's all my right. arch rival. What the hell?
Yeah, that. You know what? I do remember you and him going back and forth a lot, man. That was that. I should bring Kaijudo back for 400. That would be so...
just to torture me.
Yeah. All right, guys, have a safe weekend. We're out. You know, it's been a fun time this week, sort of, I guess.
I'm just
walking
off
like this
Kaijudo.
Goddamn show.
He's actually on my friends list on Rank Frank. Oh, my God. What? Awesome. What was that?
Till next week. We are out. Son of a bitches. I fucking hate you all. I hate the chatters this week. I'm not even going to give the chatters a fucking plug.
What? You're mad I got one last cheap shot in?
Fucking asshole. Hate all you guys. Every last goddamn one of you.
Wait, will we end Freak One stuff? There's going to be a cheap piece. That's what I'm trying.
The worst show ever. That's gonna be the name, the worst show ever.